Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Himself had the four leaders in the Oval Office
for the first time
five, 6 days ago.
Months in.
Because this was the first time that the president needed to engage with the leaders on a funding matter, and we'd been keeping the lights on and keeping everything going pretty well until then. But Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries in that meeting showed no willingness to come along and do the right thing to keep the government open. The president and everyone is open to negotiating all these issues. That's our process. We work in a deliberative public body. You got 435 members in the House and 100 in the Senate. There's a lot of opinions that you cover every day, right? You got to get those people working together to build consensus on these big issues because we have small margins of majorities in both chambers.
There you have the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, talking about the government shutdown impasse. This, I think, why they call it, you know, proverbially to say it's going to take an act of Congress. Apparently it's not that easy to do, and the government remains shut down. What does that mean for the American economy? We welcome Steve Moore onto the show, distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation, Trump economic advisor, and author of the book, The Trump Economic Miracle and the Plan to Unleash Prosperity Again. Steve Moore, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Annie. Great to be with you.
Great to be with you as well. Are you being affected by the government shutdown? How are you handling these few days so far where the government has been closed?
Well, you know, we had something in our hotline this morning that basically it was based on a Scott Rasmussen poll that showed only 6% of Americans are affected in any kind of major way by the shutdown. But those are probably the people who live in the swamp and, you know, can't go into their job. Listen, the stakes are high here. I don't like shutdowns. I think they're kind of stupid. But I also think that when you've got running a $2 trillion annual deficit, as the federal government is, when you're at a $37 trillion national debt and you're that underwater, you have to cut expenditures. And Republicans have proposed about a 2% cut in spending over the next 10 years, $1.5 trillion out of $80 trillion. And the Democrats are saying, hell no, we're not going to, you know, agree to a budget unless you get rid of those savings. And so they just want business as usual, and I don't think the American people want that.
Yeah, I don't think you elect Trump to a second term after everything that we've gone through as a country.
Exactly.
For business as usual. I hear some people economically saying that the shutdown might turn into a unlikely opportunity for the administration to make some cuts, to reassess what gets funded and what doesn't. Are you looking into this stuff yourself and looking for the administration to make some moves?
Well, I've heard that, too. I've talked a little bit with my friend Russell Vaught, who runs the Office of Management and Budget, and he thinks that he has the authority now to really not only, because I want people to understand that, you know, you've got tens and tens of thousands of federal employees who are being paid for not working now. You know, they still get their paychecks, even though they don't have to go into do any work. Boy, that's a sweet deal. I'd love that. So I think the point that he's making is if these are employees that are so non-essential, why do we need them at all? Let's just get rid of them. I mean, a business, if it was losing money, would try to trim costs, and this would be a good way to do it. And by the way, I was very heartened. I don't know if you saw the report that came out this morning that DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, that was Elon Musk headed up, is now over $200 billion in savings. So that's a good number.
Yeah, absolutely. The work there seemed like Elon Musk and the excitement that was going into DOGE initially, it was definitely, there's a ton of energy there. And then Elon Musk seemed to get into the business of bureaucratic government and overspending and become a little disenchanted by how difficult it is to cut spending. I mean, Steve Moore, how do you cut spending from a government that spends this much money?
Well, Henny, I was just smiling when you said, you know, he became disenchanted with how hard it is to cut spending. You know, I've been trying to do this for 40 years, so I'm all disenchanted myself. I mean, when I first came to Washington, we had a $1 trillion budget. Now it's $7 trillion and just climbing every year. It's hard. You know, they don't call it the swamp for nothing. The swamp creatures fight back. And look, we tried to cut, you know, corrupt foreign aid programs, the programs then that don't help anybody. And the left went crazy about that. We tried to make sure that there was not fraud in the Medicaid program that the own auditor say is $150 billion a year. And the left went crazy about that. We said that if you're going to get welfare benefits, at least you have to be looking for a job or in a job. No, we couldn't do that. I mean, they just defend the status quo, and I'm sorry, the status quo is untenable, it's dangerous, and it puts us on a path to bankruptcy.
Right. As you said, we're not in it for business as usual. How long do you feel, Steve Moore, that the Trump economic plan, as it is being implemented, and I know that a big part of his plan is tariffs, that's not necessarily part of your plan, but how long does it really take for experts like you and you know, everyday folks here in the middle of the country like me to see if the Trump plan is really working?
Well, it is working. I mean, you know, look, we've got the average family income is up $1,100 after inflation just in the first 6 months of the Trump administration. We have a record high stock market. We've got, you know, gas prices. What do you pay in there and in that area where you are?
In Missouri, downtown St. Louis, about $2.94. So it's under $3.
Yeah. So when's the last time we had $3 or less gallon? You know, it was up to $5 a gallon under Biden. So I think that the signs are very positive right now, and I'm super bullish on 2026. So, you know, like, he's cutting waste. He's reducing the deficit. He's getting better trade deals. We're producing more energy than ever any time before. I think it's an A+.
Steve Moore, are you a Cubs fan? Do I recall you being a Cubs fan? Is that correct?
Yeah, I am. And I guess we lost the first game of the playoffs to the Brewers. And so, you know, we're going to try to fight back. But yeah, I grew up in Wrigley Field.
Well, we, you know, we're Cardinals fans here. We're not even going to talk about
that.
The
only thing I don't like about you, Annie, I like everything else about you.
Well, our team.
You know, I went to the University of Illinois, and, you know, there were a lot of Cardinal fans there, and we used to say Cardinal fans would rather see the Cubs lose than the Cardinals win.
Well, I was going to tell you, I think I'm actually cheering for the Cubs this season. I'm cheering for the Cubs for Charlie Kirk. I just got a dirty, really nasty, dirty look from my associate producer who's in the studio for Charlie Kirk. But I'm also cheering for the state of Illinois, because Illinois is getting, we're on the national stage for all the wrong reasons. But of course, that midterm election is next year. I'm wondering if you think that the fiscal problems that the city of Chicago, Cook County, and the state of Illinois have been facing, and watching these foolish leaders that have been elected by a majority of Democrats, of course, I'm wondering if you think that Illinois has a shot at some common sense in 2026.
Well, it's a great question. And, you know, one of the things that concerns me is we're seeing socialists take over major U.S. cities. And we got a big election coming up in New York. As you know, Mondami has basically said we need more socialism in this country. We essentially elected a socialist mayor of Chicago, Brennan Johnson. And we're seeing the effects of that every day. So many of these cities, Minneapolis is looking at electing a socialist, so they can be more like Venezuela. Sure, that'll work. And so I am worried about our great cities. But on the other hand, you know, you have, I've been following what's happening in San Francisco, which, you know, it went down the tubes during COVID, and they, you know, that people were pooping in the streets, and the homeless people everywhere, and crime, and just everything, you know, graffiti everywhere. That it was like the radicals had taken over the city. And now they've elected a kind of pro-business Democrat mayor who's cleaning up the city.
Yeah.
So the answer to your question is yes, leadership matters. I saw it every day when, remember, this was maybe before your time, but 20 years ago, when Rudy Giuliani became mayor of New York, everybody said New York is not fixable, and he fixed it. You know, he got rid of the crime, he got rid of the graffiti, he got rid of the gangs, he fixed the schools, he lowered the taxes. It's not complicated. This is easy. I mean, you can do it in 5 minutes if you have the right leadership and you have the willpower and the voters behind you. The problem is New York is going to go in the wrong direction, and New York is going to lose Wall Street. Wall Street is going to pull out of New York if Mondani wins that election.
Does that just happen? I've heard people talk about it going to Texas, possibly.
Yeah,
but you're saying that's a realistic, outcome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, already, you know, Dallas has more financial services workers than New York does.
Wow.
And so, you know, think about what that would do to Manhattan. This has been the financial capital of the world, and yet they have the highest taxes on financial capital. So it will move out. And, you know, by the way, that's already happening. And the next financial capital of the world will either be Miami or Dallas.
Man, that is a domino effect that will just be, that'll be so bad for New York City.
Yeah. Well, people should go to, you know, our website that we just put up about a month ago called votewithyourfeet.net. And you can just click on any two states and you can see where people are moving to or from. Even if you, let's say, click on Illinois and then Arkansas. I mean, remember, Arkansas used to be one of the poorest states. People used to laugh at people from Arkansas. More people are moving from Illinois to Arkansas than Arkansas to Illinois.
Governor Sanders, she knows what she's doing, that's for sure.
Yeah, she's done a great job. I mean, again, leadership matters. So, yes, I think sometimes what happens is you have to hit rock bottom before people go, maybe we need to change.
Well, we need experts like you to continue to weigh us, weigh in on it and point us in the right direction, and you always do that. Thank you for the time today, Steve. I can't even say, go Cubs, go. I don't even know. Like, it makes my tummy hurt, but we are not in the fight, so we'll see how it goes.
Just don't wear Cubs blue on those St. Louis streets. I don't think that's going to work.
No.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Talk to you again. Man, are you okay, Ethan? You going to stay for the rest of the show?
I almost walked out during that segment.
Yeah,
just want you to know that.
The nastiest look you've ever given me, the great judgment that just happened there. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. You know what it kind of reminds me of? Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me how after 2013, fans were really all over the Boston Red Sox because of the marathon bombing that just happened. And I would imagine that's probably how people were after 9/11 as well with the two New York teams.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't go as far as saying that I am on the Cubs bandwagon. But I get that sense of rallying behind a team that represents, you know, something bigger than
sports. What was the name? Do you remember? Was it Shaw was the name of the player for the Cubs who missed
Matt
a game?
Matt Shaw,
at the end of the season to go to that memorial service for Charlie Kirk because he was invited by Charlie Kirk's family to attend. And he got crap in the media, and he's like, I really don't care. I was asked to be there, and I wanted to be there, and I was there.
Some things are just bigger than sports.
Yeah, like cheering for the Cubs?
Well,
I can't even say it with my full volume.
I wouldn't go that
voice.
Far. That is not bigger than
I don't
sports.
Know. I've been thinking about it, and I'm not going to watch it. It's not like I'm going to participate.
Well, they got some work to do. They're getting beat up by the Brew Crew. They've gotten destroyed twice, I'm pretty sure.
Hey, at least they're in the fight.
I guess so. Cardinals are not.
Between the Brewers and the Cubs, are you cheering for the Brewers?
10 out of 10 times.
Okay. All right.
It's not even close.
Quick break. The Chicago Police Department superintendent is holding a presser, and we're going to cue into that and see what they have to say for themselves in the wake of all of the news taking place this weekend. That was Steve Moore you were listening to. If you missed any of that and you want to hear it, check it on the Andy Fry Show podcast. We're going to take a quick break. Go vote in the poll. Have you been affected by the government shutdown? Yes or no? We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. Good conversation there with Steve Moore, who was talking to us about the government shutdown. You know, I really am curious how they're going to utilize this as an opportunity, because I don't think the Trump administration would put that past themselves. They're looking for every wrinkle that they can to legally get done what they want to do. The lead story on Fox Business is traders expect U.S. government shutdown to last weeks as D.C. standoff deepens. You think this is going to go weeks?
Yes, I do. I don't think that they're going to do anything with the CR for a while. If it gets deep enough, they might pass the CR. The only thing is, the CR being continuing resolution, it'll just sort of keep things floated at the current levels. The only thing that I'm a little disappointed in is that Republicans have, up to this point, been messaging very well that this is the Democrat shutdown, it's the Schumer shutdown. They've been doing a very good job of that. They're not really doing any actual negotiations to get the government permanently open. They're doing short-term negotiations to get it short-term open. But eventually, you're going to have to actually pass something for the long term. And I don't hear anybody talking about that, Republicans either.
The actual, what is it, 12 appropriations bills?
Mm-hmm.
How many did they say they have done? We're going to ask Ryan Schmelz these questions in 8 minutes.
7 of 12 or something like the 8 of 12.
And those are the ones that always gets passed. But then you have like the Medicare, Social Security ones or whatever that get fought over. We'll ask Ryan Schmelz for the details on that in about 8 minutes when he joins us. But I think people need to be prepared. Whatever this government shutdown, however it ends, whenever it ends, that when Republicans have to go negotiate, because that's what the Republicans' case right now is, we don't need to negotiate. We need to pass the CR so that we can negotiate. We're not going to negotiate with the CR. We're going to do what we played the clip before, what Hakeem Jeffries himself has said, like just pass a clean CR so we can get to the debating of the issues at hand. Democrat after Democrat after Democrat has advocated for exactly what they're advocating against right now. Politically, I don't know that I really fault the Democrats for being obstructionists because that's all that they can do in the minority. I just am looking at them going, I understand that you're trying to obstruct things, but you're actually hurting more than you're helping. So I like actually measurably hurting Americans more than you're helping. If you get out of this what you want, you won't be helping Americans more. I don't believe at all that they're doing this like out of the I'll just put it this way. They're doing it to try to have a political win with their base. They're trying to obstruct. Now, I can think of times where the Republicans have been in the minority and I'm like, obstruct in every possible way that you can. I don't want them to do the things that the Democrats want them to do. But you got to bear the burden of the consequences, the fallout of that decision. And I just don't see any upsides. I said this a little bit earlier in the show, but name a political win for the Democrats in 2025. A decided, not in progress, a win for the Democrats in 2025.
I don't think they really have the ability to get a win.
They wouldn't know it if they had it.
Aside from some governorships, they don't really have any way to get anything across the finish line, legislatively.
When Gavin Newsom talks, he only is talking to the same people all the time.
Yeah.
There's no base expanding happening right there. When J.B. Pritzker is to the left of Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom is a palatable J.B. Pritzker. Who else is there? I mean, everybody kind of throws around that name Pete Buttigieg, but the last person that they nominated said he was too gay.
That's right.
That is like, I'm trying real hard to not talk about certain topics because I think they get way more oxygen than they need. Jimmy Kimmel being one of them. I've seen reports that his viewership is cratered. It just basically went back to what it was.
Oh, so it had a couple days.
Hey, everybody was like, oh, what happened? We're watching. And then they're like, okay, same crap.
Mm-hmm.
I almost said the other word.
Different day.
Yeah. And then they're gone. Okay, that's a news story. Fine. Kamala Harris's book. There's a lot to talk about there. But I don't. To me, she lost and she's done. Me talking about her is the only thing that she has left. Not me specifically, but me and the cloud of talking heads into microphones who can be bothered. Like, I don't want Kamala Harris to still have the power to bother me because she really doesn't.
Let me make the case for talking about Kamala Harris at this juncture.
Okay.
Because in a year and a half, 2 years after midterms, mm-hmm. I don't think that she's really relevant anymore at all. I don't think she's relevant at this moment. But
her relevancy in the conversation right now is because she wrote a book.
Yeah, and she ran for president.
Yeah.
But to me, it actually is still important in a way, not necessarily all the time, but to reference her once in a while, or Joe Biden for that matter, because they were very close. Well, actually, the election wasn't that close, but they were that very close, being the major party, to becoming the president of the United States. And so putting it in context of what Donald Trump does on a daily basis versus what she would be doing right now does matter, because it reminds me, oh, it's not just about comparing Trump to Trump, comparing Trump against what he could have done differently in any given moment. It's comparing the binary choice between what Donald Trump is doing at this moment to what Kamala Harris could be doing at this moment.
Why is everything with you always binary?
I'm sorry. It just is. Even that election was binary.
Can't change your binary.
You can tell.
You're born the way
between,
you are.
Yeah, but in the election, you had a choice between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point.
You're making it.
And between the two, I think it's important sometimes to put the broader context into picture
broad.
And say, I know, and the phallic context.
What?
Into.
How do you know what that word means?
Don't Google it.
Don't worry about it. Hey, you guys wanted to make it funny. That's fine. We'll go with funny. Because I have friends who will do this a lot. They'll criticize Donald Trump.
Let's go to the YouTube chat.
No.
Jackie says, whoa. I'm with you, Jackie. Whoa. What just happened here? No, you're not still giggling. Knock that off. I'm not.
Yes, you
comment.
Are. You're enjoying yourself.
Give me a break.
I have good friends who are conservative in nature, but they never like the candidate. And I'm always like, dude, you have to remember, the candidate is never going to be 100% of what you would want. It never will be that way.
Mm-mm.
You have to make a binary choice between the two.
Oh, gosh.
You have to.
He's obsessed.
And and when you do, you're accepting somebody's faults along with their wins. But you have to pick which one you think is going to win more, which one's going to do better. And that is the reason to me to talk about Kamala Harris.
I know that you are a huge supporter of hers, and I think it's time that you move on.
Okay.
You can pull phallic out of the context there and throw that in there.
It's a political discussion. It's a political discussion.
Let's take a break. Ryan Schmelz will clean up this mess. Are you going to stay here for this?
Yeah.
Okay. Ryan Schmelz, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent.
I'm going to try to sneak phallic into this.
No, don't. Get out of here. Go think about what you've done. Sit in the corner and take a breather.
Your face.
What do you mean, your face? Your face.
When I said that, your eyes got really wide.
Well, it's like, what the heck are you doing? I have no control over this thing that has my name on it. Ryan Schmelz, please help. Next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Our poll question for you today is, have you been affected by the government shutdown? Yes or no? And we bring Ryan Schmelz onto the show to give us the latest from Capitol Hill. He is Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent on X for the latest at Ryan Schmelz Fox. Ryan, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Always great to be on, Annie. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm reading here from foxbusiness.com, and it says, hopes dim in prediction markets as traders bet government shutdown will drag on for weeks. Is there any viable off-ramp to the shutdown that you're seeing right now in discussions in Congress?
There are a couple. Now, if they're going to lead to anything, that is the big question, because there is another plan tonight to have another vote on the Republican-backed spending bill that would extend government funding until mid to late November. Republicans need 8 Democrats total to vote for it. They've gotten 3 so far in previous votes. Can they get the 5th or the other 5? That's going to be the question. And we haven't gotten any indication anybody's set or going to flip today, but we could be wrong. You know, it's been a while since the last vote. They left town on Friday. And so we'll see if any Democrats change their mind as this shutdown really drags on. Mm. And there's also some talks about some other bipartisan negotiations going on, or at least discussions that are being had, not amongst leadership, but amongst some rank and file senators who are trying to get some type of handshake work together to work on these Affordable Care Act tax subsidies. But that hasn't really materialized in anything like a deal or something like that.
You just said something that I would like you to explain. Super plain speak. Keep it as simple as you can so even I can understand it. You said Affordable Care Act tax subsidies. Correct? Did I say that right?
Affordable Care Act tax subsidies is what we're calling them.
What is that?
So there were these subsidies that were passed during the pandemic, I believe right once Democrats took control of Congress under President Biden and under a Democrat-controlled Senate and House. Pretty much they were tax subsidies that brought down the cost of premiums for health insurance plans under the Affordable Care Act. Those are set to expire at the end of the year. So Democrats have kind of hung their hat on having this be a part of any type of government funding deal in order to get them to yes. Republicans, though, have said that this is a December policy issue, not a September funding issue. And they have said that they're open to changing the program or extending the program, but there need to be significant reforms in order for them to support that. So putting that into a government funding package is going to take a lot more negotiating than it is if they were to just, you know, simply put it in the bill and extend it. So Republicans aren't budging on that issue. Democrats aren't budging on that issue. And we're in a government shutdown because of it.
We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz, the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Talk to me about health insurance, taxpayer-funded health insurance for illegal immigrants. That has definitely been a talking point, a ping-pong ball that's going back and forth between political parties. Republicans are saying Democrats want to provide taxpayer-funded health insurance for illegal immigrants, and Democrats are saying we absolutely are not trying to do that. Where is the truth?
Well, there were a number of provisions that were passed under the One Big Beautiful Bill Act related to preventing illegals from getting on Medicaid. Now, in this, you know, Democrats put out their big plan. It was like a counterproposal to the government funding plan the Republicans put out, and it included rolling back or completely getting rid of a number of those Medicaid provisions in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. So a lot of those safeguards that Republicans were able to pass that was supposed to take illegal immigrants or prevent them from getting on to Medicaid, Republicans are now pointing out that those are going to be available and therefore could lead to a significant amount of people in the country illegally getting back on the Medicaid rolls or getting access to Medicaid. So Republicans are making this argument and claiming that Democrats are advocating for taxpayer funding to provide Medicaid to people in the country illegally. And so it's kind of one of those things where you could spin it to be the truth. You could push back and say, no, that's not the case. But you know, the idea is that the Democrat proposal would take away a number of those safeguards, thus allowing people here undocumented to get on those Medicaid rolls.
Ryan, this is Ryan. I see that Republicans are really messaging hard on the short term, that they're saying, yeah, we passed this clean CR. You know, we could get the government back open right now if there were just enough Democrats willing to, in the Senate, cross over and vote for this thing. We could get this thing going and then we could negotiate. But what exactly are they negotiating for long term? I haven't heard a lot of messaging on what they want in the actual budget.
Right. So the idea is that, you know, right now they're in the process of doing the appropriations process, which is 12 individual spending bills that would fund the government until the next fiscal year. They ran out of time when it came to finishing those, so they're trying to punt to November, thus giving themselves more time to negotiate. They've got 3 of those bills passed out of the Senate. They're currently what's called a conference committee, where you know you take a series of negotiators from each side, and they negotiate 3 of those bills. And Speaker Johnson said today, and I thought this was pretty newsy, that he had talked to the Democrat, who was the top Democrat on the Appropriations Committee in the Senate, and said, whatever we negotiate out of that committee, I am vowing to put that on the floor. So that would at least get a portion of the government funded for the next fiscal year. And, you know, there's a lot of different things that Republicans are going to want and Democrats are going to want. Certainly spending levels are going to probably be the biggest point of contention when it comes to that. But Speaker Johnson has pointed out that they can't make any progress on that if the government is shut down. Now, there could be an argument to be said that the House could make more progress on some of their bills if they're in town and those negotiations can be ongoing. But Speaker Johnson has pretty much sent the House home until the Senate opens the government back up. And if Democrats in the Senate aren't willing to budge and vote for the current offer on the table, then the government's just going to stay shut down.
Ryan Schmell speaking with us right now, talking about the government shutdown and where we are at this point. Before we let you go, can you kind of give us a little bit of a layout of who the players are in these discussions, the leaders? Obviously, Chuck Schumer has been at the forefront talking about this. Hakeem Jeffries, even though, of course, it's been passed out of the House, is still leading this charge. But we've also heard the likes of AOC throwing herself out there to be negotiated with. I'm wondering who you see our main players in helping lead this to a place where maybe a deal can be done, who we might not have expected.
Well, pretty much anybody who's in leadership is going to be somebody to watch because they're the ones who are talking and are going to ultimately be the main decision makers in this process. You're going to want to watch somebody named Rosa DeLauro. She's the top Democrat on the Appropriations Committee. Patty Murray out of Washington is the top Senate Democrat on Appropriations. Watch for Susan Collins of Maine. She's the current Senate Appropriations Committee chairwoman, and also Tom Cole of Oklahoma, who is the Appropriations Committee chair. And then, of course, you can't rule out people like Andy Harris, the Freedom Caucus chairman, as well as some other conservative members, too. So there's a number of players here, but one that's kind of, I think, snuck up on people, too, and he's kind of been one of those who's in the forefront of the non-leadership talks going on in the Senate, Mike Rounds of South Dakota, somebody who obviously has a lot of, you know, sway with Democrats too, and is, you know, well respected on both sides of the aisle. He's kind of somebody who's been trying to at least facilitate some type of conversation outside of leadership that could lead to Democrats agreeing to reopen the government. But those talks he's been having haven't exactly turned into anything just yet.
And, you know, I'm thinking of names on the Democrat side like John Fetterman, who seems outspokenly independent in the way he delivers himself. Of course, he still is a Democrat and says he has no intention to change his party. And then, of course, on the Republican side, Rand Paul, who, when it comes to fiscal issues, 53 people in the Senate who are Republicans. If it's a budgetary thing, I'm not always counting on Rand Paul to support that as well. How do you see them factoring in and where these negotiations are moving?
Well, Fetterman's one of the Democrats who's a yes, and he hasn't given any indication that he's going to not vote to break the filibuster on this thing. So, you know, he hasn't really factored too much into conversations because Republicans have already gotten him to where he needs to be. Rand Paul is kind of somebody where you have to factor in the math by subtracting one Republican from the roll count because Rand Paul's been a no and he hasn't changed his stance on being a no. So if it wasn't for Rand Paul, you'd probably only need 7 Democrats to get to break the filibuster. But because Rand Paul's been a no, you need 8.
Well, we will continue to watch and reach out to you, Ryan, as you are covering this on a day-by-day basis. We always appreciate you spending some of your afternoon with us. Thanks again for the update.
Of course. Thank you, Annie.
We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye. Ryan Schmelz is the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Very good at what he does. Very well versed. How good would you be at that job to be able to go there? And he has, you know, you got to know all the names. You got to know all the players. The things that we know for our job here, we know a lot of things that we would not have to know if we weren't in this business. I think that's with anything. But it's so fast paced. We're in a fast paced environment. It feels like that would be exponentially even faster.
I did apply for that job. They got down to Ryan S and then he got it. Ryan W would have been just after
that. Was it just alphabetically he got you?
Well, there was an order to coming in the doors, like a casting call. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just go alphabetically. Mm-hmm. And they got to Ryan S. and they said, well, this guy's the guy. And I was next in line. I kid you not. I was walking in the room.
You didn't even get an interview.
You can't deny that he's more than qualified and way better at that job than you would be.
Oh, no. No, there's no way I should have gotten that
Imagine
job.
If you were there and he were here and we were calling you for the updates.
Yeah. There wouldn't happen.
Oh, that's a scary thought.
That wouldn't happen because it would suck.
If it happened once, we would last one dime.
Corporate would get involved and they say, I don't think so.
Let's be real, though. If we had a guy who was covering Capitol Hill the way you would cover, we'd probably love it.
Maybe. Only one way to find out.
You don't want to do that.
Let's go to D.C. Gary
Bud. You would just be making stuff up as you go.
Sort of. Kind of like I do here.
Yep. You'd have to have...
It's based in something.
All of your social media accounts, at the very end, the word parody listed. All right. How about Wiggins America next?
Yeah,
it
let's
is
do
your
that.
World. We're just living in it. Right here on the Annie Fry Show. Coming up. Don't go away.
Wiggins! Oh!
Monday Roundup! Yeehaw! This here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
All right, well, we talked about the Trump coin, the $1 coin
Fix
that could come out next year.
Your camera's still positioned for Ryan Schmelz.
That's all right. I feel okay about that. You guys deal with it however you want.
Thanks, Ethan.
How
Producer
about...
Producer extraordinaire.
A new No Kings protest nationwide.
No Kings. Ooh, ooh,
you ready for that?
Is J.B. Pritzker going to lead it? Right, he's running for his third term in office?
I would imagine that he would be a part of this if it gets big enough. October 18th, another nationwide No Kings rally is planned to protest what organizers are calling President Donald Trump's policies and pathetic attempt at wearing the crown.
October 18th?
October 18th.
That's my half birthday.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's my sister's birthday.
Oh,
that's
She's
incredible.
She's my half-birthday twin.
That's incredible. Are we starting to celebrate quarter birthdays yet?
I know if we
is
were, that you'd be all over it.
Darn right
no,
I would.
No, it is not.
What would you do for a quarter birthday?
He'd treat it the same way as if it were his actual
I'd
birthday.
I'd ask for 25% of the presents I normally get. And so, if I got anywhere near that, it'd be fine. So if somebody got me a thimble of chai, that'd be fine.
What if it was in the case of the awesome gift that Annie just got you, the picture frame, it was literally just a quarter of the frame.
Oh, yeah. We need to talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah. About where it ended up.
It's still in my house. It's
I know,
still
but
on the mantle.
I don't know that we told
we
the
didn't,
story.
Yeah,
on
we didn't
air.
Talk about
we'll
it.
We'll talk about that in the 2 o'clock hour.
Okay.
I'm writing it down. Your birthday present.
The No Kings protest is something that I would support thoroughly because it seems to work.
Yeah, I'm still excited about No Kings.
We still don't have a king. So, guys, keep it up. You're doing a great job by keeping kings out of the U.S.
Nailed it.
There we go. All right, let's talk about a possible rebate check that Trump is floating right now.
Mm-hmm.
Between $1,000 and $2,000, he says he's floating the idea of giving Americans stimulus checks based on revenue from the tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
He said that on One America News this weekend that it aired Thursday, Friday, that he is considering offering Americans checks from the revenue worth somewhere between $1,000 and $2,000, depending on how much we end up with at the end of the year.
I think it's like per taxpayer, and there's children are counted in this as well.
So that could be a pretty big check.
Yeah.
If you have a big family.
Yeah. That's why I had all those kids. I went
for
the
this
government,
moment.
I went the government handout. Yeah, I'll finally feel like I got ahead financially.
Yeah, and I will say that this Axios article does mention that they've talked about the same thing with DOGE checks. I really think that that's the direction to go here. The tariff-funded checks are, I think, right now a PR move because the tariffs are going to be going to the Supreme Court soon and his ability to levy them. So he's trying to, of course, make them more popular. But I would really like to see
DOGE
checks.
It's not all tariffs that are going to the Supreme Court. Isn't it a specific case?
I think it's certain types of tariffs. That it has to do with the motivation of the tariff, but then you're getting into some weeds.
Yeah,
there.
But it's I don't think the tariff strategy as a whole is going in front of the Supreme Court. I think
the essence of the tariff.
Thank you,
yes.
Ethan.
Yes,
for being here today.
To our legal department, Ethan Hannaford.
Which
well,
one?
I do.
Which one do you think is a better move, or either or? Would you say that tariff dividends or DOGE dividends is a better idea?
The tariff implementation in Donald Trump's intention, as he has articulated it, it could potentially replace the income tax for households that are people who earn $200,000 or less. And I understand people saying that, like, we need to pay down the deficit, or the debt, I should say. I understand that. But I think that the American people, I think that these types of checks, one way or the other, is a smart move, because it is a very definitive statement that this was your money that we took. And the Doge instance is more of a, we took money of yours that we shouldn't have taken.
Yes.
Here it is back. Like, you're entitled to this first. Now, if you want to pay down the debt, check this box here and we won't send you your check. Because I don't know anybody, who's out there saying, no, we should pay down the debt, who, given the opportunity to check that box, to say, well, you can send mine to the debt. Nobody's checking that box. I think we need a mentality shift for voters and taxpayers in this country to understand that that dollar belongs to the people who made that dollar, and then it is taken from the government to do these types of things. Tariffs are not dollars that are taken from the American people. A tariff is a dollar that's taken from a foreign country and then given to the American people. So that's actually more of like a government program than a Doge check would be. So I think the Doge check is more along the lines of returning the American people their money. So the intention of doing that, to me, can reset the table for, oh, wait a second, you're telling me that if the government doesn't take as much money that I get to keep it?
Yes.
Mentality shift. Tariffs are different. And I would love to get to a place where, because the tariff money is coming in, I get to keep more of my own. But I think that there's an easier connection to be made on a Doge check than there is on a tariff check.
You just articulated my point exactly, because not only all that, but I'll just add to that, that think about if you were telling America this whole year, and every year of your presidency for that matter, that at the end of the year, however much we've cut from government,
you get it back. You get a piece.
Not only does that get America on board with cutting the government more, everybody be excited. Yeah, furlough, you know, cut these jobs like crazy. That's all money coming back to me. Everybody be excited about it. But then at the end of the year, you get that dividend, and the government saves more money because it's not just a one-time thing.
What if that money goes into an account like they were doing the $1,000 for the babies? What if that money goes into an account for you, and you can withdraw it after a certain amount of time? If you withdraw it soon, maybe there is a tax penalty on it. But, like, I don't know. I feel like we need to start offsetting the responsibility of the government to fund Social Security. We're going to be so screwed, not because the money's not going to be there, but the people making the money younger than us, there are going to be so fewer people. Boomers are the hugest generation. And the amount of people making the money right now to fund the retirement, like the money that comes out of my check that goes into Social Security, does not pay for my Social Security. It pays for the people who are drawing on Social Security right now. And when you have more takers than makers, and yes, those takers, don't hear me say something I'm not saying. The people who are the takers now were the makers before. So they were handing over their hard-earned dollar to people who are taking it before them. But the biggest generation is going into becoming takers now, in large part, and the makers are going to be fewer and fewer. What if it's an insolvent right now, what's it going to be in 20 years when we're asking to get out what we put in? So any of these instances where our money can be, you know, first of all, I'd like to keep it myself. Only take the money that I need for the basic tenets of government, which is to provide for the safety and security of the American people, to provide infrastructure that is of public use, and also to provide for a fair and just system, basically the honoring of contracts between people. The three tenets of government that I consider to be important.
Ethan, if we're going to 57, I'll share these figures really quick. This year, Doge says that they've saved $214 billion. I just did the math while we were talking there. That comes out to about the same as Trump saying about these tariff dividends. So if that were the case, not only would you save $214 billion this year, or dividend that back out to the American people, but you would also save that $214 billion every single year after that. And you wouldn't have to dividend that. So that's actual money the government would save, too. So not only are American people getting it back, the government's saving that every year from here on out.
Yeah. Those Doge dollars, those are your dollars that they took and shouldn't have.
Yes.
That's important.
It's a good move.
It's a mentality shift, and I'm for it. And put a box there. Let people check it if they want to put it to the debt.
Yeah.
2 o'clock hour next. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.